All right, Father, we just thank you so much for your presence here today. Father, we are so glad that wherever we are, Father, you go with us. Father, we thank you that there you are in our midst as we gather together. So, Lord, we thank you that this morning as we open your word and desire in our hearts, we set our hearts, Father, to hear from you. Father, we want to hear the words that you desire for us to hear. Speak to our hearts, to each person in here, just as an individual, the things that they need to hear that are going to help them know you better and know how much you love them, that you care for them. And Lord, that you have such wonderful plans in store for every single person. So thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the great teacher, that you enlighten our hearts, open up our minds, help us to grasp the meaning of the things we hear today, and just to take encouragement from your word. So we just give you glory and honor for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. Today I'm going to try to start transitioning into, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the concept of the word and seed, but then we're going to start transitioning into just a little bit about healing, and then we're going to, from this point forward, we're going to go into more about healing in this class. I just feel like we need to do that. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto thy sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. And so we've been looking at the importance of attending to God's word, inclining our ear to his sayings, not letting the word depart from before eyes. Don't let it get away from you. You know, the encouragement here and throughout the scriptures, this is just one place where it just seems to focus so much on this, is to not ever let the word get away from you. Always have the word someplace in your, you know, that you're, there's just a little, like a little grasp on it. It's kind of like being out with your kids, especially the little one, where wherever you are, you always got their hand. You know, you just don't let go of that little hand. Well, it's kind of like that with the word. You never let go of it. Not because God's word's in danger. We are. Actually, if we were looked at it the other way, God's word has kind of got our hand. But it's just kind of keeping conscious of it, being conscious, keeping it front and center. I think that's what it means when it says keeping it in the midst of your heart. That means keep it right, always centered in your life, so that whatever goes on is just peripheral to what the word is doing. The word is speaking to us on a daily basis. And he says, attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. And as I was thinking about this a little bit last night, I was thinking about the fact that he seems to say the same thing here. But I was thinking we could apply this a little bit differently. We could look at the first phrase, words, as being the written word. And then the second phrase, incline thine ear unto my sayings, is being the Spirit of God speaking to us. And how important it is to hear, what is the Spirit of God speaking to us when we read the word? What is the Holy Spirit wanting us to get from the things that we're reading? When we're reading in the scriptures, when we're reading or we're listening to something, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you in the midst of what you're reading there or what you're meditating on? The Holy Ghost has a voice and he will speak to you. He'll say, well, this is what this means, or he'll show you how to apply it to a difficult thing that you're going through, or he'll prepare you for something that's coming. Sometimes you'll read something early in the day, and later on in the day, something will come along that is very applicable to the thing that you heard or that you read. And so it's like the Holy Spirit, he's so wonderful. He sees ahead and he makes provision. So he says, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For their life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And so, of course, we're kind of trying to get to the place where we're going to head into this more teaching along the lines of divine healing. But as we've been looking at the concept of God's being word, a word being a seed, we discussed the fact that seeds are absolutely powerless, worthless, of no value whatsoever unless they're planted. They're no good. They're just no good, you know, and God's word has been compared to a seed. So that means we could say the same thing. God's word is powerless. You know, people say, oh, God's word's powerful. God's word can do anything. Not unless it's planted. Not unless it's placed on in the midst of a person's heart. It has to be planted. You know, otherwise it's just inert. It's just a book. It's just a book with words in it. It's not going to do us any good until it gets planted. It has to be planted. It has to be planted in the soil of a human being's heart. And that's what Jesus was trying to get across in that wonderful parable he tells in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8, where he tells us about the parable of the sower. He says, this is how the word is. This is how the kingdom of God operates. You've got to get the word into your heart. You've got to get it planted. It has to be planted. And there's nothing else in the scriptures that's referred to in the same way the word is. The word refers to itself as a seed. You know, prayer isn't referred to as a seed. All your disciplines, they're not referred to as seeds. God's word alone is referred to as a seed. And it's referred in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It's called incorruptible seed. That means it'll never change. It'll never change. What God meant when this word was inspired will never change. That's why so many of the things that are happening in the world today, that culture and society wants to change the way the church is, or change the way we view certain things, because they say, well, you know, we've evolved, we've grown, and culturally we're a different people now. God's word has never changed. It's incorruptible. It's imperishable. God hasn't changed his mind. He has not changed how he perceives things or what his plan is for people. God knows best how human beings can live powerful lives, lives that are full of goodness and full of blessing. And so, Leroy, would you mind closing that door a little bit? Thanks. So there are so many things that we could do, disciplines and things like that, but none of them are considered like a seed. Now, they're all important things. It's important to read our Bible. It's important to pray. Pray over the word. In fact, we'll see that that's part of the watering process is prayer. But I want to read some quotes from Christ the Healer. I've got Christ the Healer again. This is an awesome book. I would just really encourage everybody to read this. You can get, if you'd like electronic versions of your books, you can get this as an electronic version. But in Christ the Healer, it says, the only purpose of God's promises is their fulfillment. That's the only purpose, is their fulfillment. It's not just to have it written on a page and just say, well, I know God's word, somewhere in the word it says that God wants me to be well, or God wants me to be healed, or God wants me to be prosperous, or God wants me to walk in joy, God wants me to have a peaceful life. You know, I know it says there's that somewhere in the word, but those promises are meant to be fulfilled. They're meant to be fulfilled. Every promise is meant to be fulfilled. That's their purpose. God just didn't say those words to store up words in a book that we would bind with nice leather and lay on our coffee table or put on a bookshelf, or gather as many translations of it as we can, have as many translations of those promises as is available. They're no good unless they're fulfilled in our lives. And so that means they have to be planted like seeds. So the only purpose of God's promise is their fulfillment. They are a revelation of what he is eager to do for us. Isn't that good? That means when you read a promise in the Word of God and you see, I need that. You don't have to go like a beggar on your knees to God and beg and plead with him for that. That's not the heart of the Father, any more than your heart toward your children. If your children knew that there was food in the refrigerator for them, would they have to, well, some houses they do, but would they have to come begging you? Oh, please, Mama, can I have a glass of milk? Please, can I have an apple? Please, can I have whatever is in the cupboards or whatever? No, that's there for them. That's it. Why did we buy that? You know, we bought it for them. It's there for them. So it's what God is eager to do for us. We're eager. You know, even when my kids is at their age today, when they come over, they might open up the refrigerator still, you know, and look. And, you know, it's fun to share with your kids, even as adults, just to share with why, because we're eager to bless. Well, if that's in the heart of a human being, the eagerness to bless and to love and to share with your children, well, how much more the heart of our Father? It says this is what he's eager to do with us. The Holy Spirit, whose work it is to fulfill the promises, speaks of them as exceeding great and precious. Their greatness is seen in their suitableness to meet all our needs and to fill all our capacities. Oh, my gosh, that's so awesome. So when you have a great need in your life, there's a greatness about the word because it is suitable to meet that need and to fill your capacity. Some people have a greater capacity of need than others do. Their immutability, which is the word unchanging, which is where the word is, why the word is referred to as incorruptible, their immutability makes them exceeding great and precious because it removes all reason for doubt and gives us perfect reasons upon which to base our expectations. So why can we expect our bodies to be well? Why can we expect our needs to be met? Why can we expect to have peace of mind in the midst of turmoil? Why can we expect these things? Because of the promises of God. Because of the promises of God. Now again, I know that when I say that, sometimes people go, well, I've stood on a promise of God. I've prayed and asked God to bless me or to heal my body and nothing happened. Well, that's when we have to get very, 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 transparent and honest in our own hearts about that. Okay, we know God's word never fails, that God is not a man that he should lie, that God's word is incorruptible. So if something hasn't changed, if there hasn't been a release of that power of that into our lives and where it actually delivers the healing power of God into us or the peace of God flows like a river into our lives, if that hasn't happened, then we're missing a connection somewhere. It's not a God failure. It's a human failure. And that's our job. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words and incline your ears to my sayings. So yes, I'm standing on this promise that God's eager to give me. But what is the Holy Ghost saying to me about my application of that? His saying, what is he saying to me? We need to be seeking that and asking for his wisdom. Because sometimes healing isn't just an issue of our physical body getting healed. There might be something more involved. There might be another issue entirely. We may be believing a lie, and we'll get into that more as we start getting into the healing side of things, but there might be more to that. We may believe that because there's a genetic condition in our family, I have to have this. This is just in my family. We accept it. We work as best as we can with it, but it's there. Or, you know, a congenital condition, something we were born with. Well, it's just, and the other night, I was thinking about this because I've got something in my family that we have seen pass from. It's not a life-threatening thing. It's an inconvenience is what it is. A condition that's an inconvenience. And I realized, you know what? I have put up with this. You know why? Because it isn't life-threatening. It seems like if something's life-threatening, we're much more serious about dealing with it. But when it's not life-threatening, when it's just an inconvenience or it may just diminish the quality of our life a little bit, you know, it's just not perfect. It's not the way it should be. We could say that about having to wear corrective lenses, you know. I've heard lots and lots of believers believe their way right out of their glasses. You know, it's just not a big inconvenience and all. I'll just go and get my glasses each year. I'll get my eyes checked and, you know, again, when we're feeding on these promises, when we're reading these promises, we need to stop and listen to what he is saying to us about that. How can I apply this? Where can I apply this? The Holy Ghost wants to be so involved in this process of taking the word of God, planting it in the heart, watching it, first of watering. I believe the watering is the work of the Holy Spirit, which is where prayer comes in and meditation. If you never water the word that you plant, or you might hear pastor speak something this morning that just resonates with you. And, oh, yes, I want that in my life. Nothing will happen. All he did was scatter seeds. That's all he's broadcasting. He's scattering seeds. Nothing will happen with that until it's watered. You have to go home and you have to spend time listening to the Holy Spirit and watering that through prayer and meditation before it'll even germinate. You know, again, we're not going to get what pastor preaches this morning by osmosis because we're in there and he's preaching a message and we heard it. That's the first step, but it's certainly not enough. So now continuing on here I just pulled some passages out of Christ the Healer. It says, in the seed, there are possibilities beyond the power of the human mind to conceive, just as in a little seed, there is a potential tree a million times bigger than the seed. And we've looked, you know, over the last weeks, we've looked at the little acorn and thought, wow, just think of what could come out of that little acorn. What could be produced out of that? But until that acorn is planted, as long as that acorn is sitting in my briefcase, no oak tree is going to come out of that little acorn, right? It's just going to stay a little hard rock like it is. Yet the potential to shade my house, I'm not going to do that because I don't need another tree in my yard, but to shade my home, or maybe in the future to provide firewood for someone, to provide a place of a rest and protection for wildlife. Think of the potentials that are there. Well, that's what God's word is like, but it has to be planted. It has to be watered. It has to be protected. And it's telling us here that the potential is incredible. He goes on to say, if all farmers treated their seed, this particular phrase is just powerful. If all farmers treated their seed as millions of church members today treat God's imperishable seed, the world would starve to death. Everybody say, wow. If farmers today treated the seed that they have to plant, if they treated it the way the church treats the word of God, the world would starve. And it's so interesting because our country, we feed many nations. We don't just feed our people, we feed many, many nations. So there's a spiritual application there as well. In the seed, there are infinite possibilities. One verse of scripture allowed to germinate in a human heart may grow into a harvest of thousands of conversions and the eternal glory which follows. Ugh. That means Billy Graham, a one Billy Graham receiving the word regarding salvation, germinated and brought forth fruit in his life. And look at the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that were affected, that were born again as a result of that word being planted in one man's heart. One kernel of wheat can, in time, cover a continent. Just one kernel of wheat over time will multiply to the point where it could cover a continent and feed nations. And the results of cultivating the incorruptible seed are much greater and more desirable than the harvest of material seed, as the heavens are higher than the earth. Only the imperishable seed can bring about imperishable results. The Bible says every seed bringeth forth after its kind. So when we feed on, or when we plant healing seeds in our hearts, and the Bible is full of healing seeds, but that's all they will be until they're planted and watered. They will just be little seeds. They will not produce anything. So every seed brings forth after its kind. If you spend all your time meditating on end time prophecies and end time things, and that's important in the days we're living in. I think it's important that we read the book of Revelation and read some of the Old Testament prophets so we understand the things that are going on in this world, because they'll explain it better to us than anybody else could. If we spend all our time doing that, but we have a need for healing in our life, how much healing will we experience? We have to feed on the thing that's going to produce after its kind. So every seed bring forth after its kind. Each promise by the blessing promised reveals the nature of the harvest of promises fulfilled. So we have to, if there's needs that we have in our lives, we have to realize God is eager to do this for us. He's eager. But God can only cause increase to come to what has been planted and watered in our lives. God is the one who's responsible for bringing increase, but he cannot do anything. Oh, God can do anything. No, God can't do anything unless that seed is planted and then watered. So watering is an important part. In fact, most seeds won't even germinate unless all seeds. No seed would germinate unless water is applied to it. And Luke chapter 8, that version of the parable of the sower brings that element out. It says, some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And sometimes that's the way it is. We might hear something that pastor preaches and really get excited about it. Oh, that's so awesome. Yes, yes. And, you know, you get this little sprout that kind of pops up because we're all excited, but then we go away and we never do anything with it, and it just withers and dies. And sometimes you'll even go, well, what was that again? I know pastor preached something that was so good about this, and I got so blessed. But, You know, and we can't even remember what it was anymore because we didn't water. We didn't go home and water. We didn't spend time praying over that thing. Holy Ghost, I know because you stirred my heart when I heard that message. You stirred me when I heard that promise spoken this morning. You stirred me about that. I think that's like the Holy Ghost cracking open a door and saying, come on in. Come on. There's so much more here than what you're experiencing. Come on in. Come on. Come and fellowship with me, you know. Come and fellowship with me over this. Spend time praying in the Spirit over this. Water this. My Father will give increase to it. God is the one. 1 Corinthians 3:5 tells us that. You know, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So God's the one that gives the increase, but he can't do anything until we plant and sow. So sometimes planting will come in the form of a sermon you hear or a tape or a book you read. I love having that happen, but there's times you're just reading in the Word and kaplunk, a little seed gets planted, and then you spend some time thinking on that, praying over it, meditating on it. Pretty soon you start seeing the effects of it in your life. That's the increase that God promised. So God can only increase what we've allowed to be planted in our lives and then what we have watered. But that's a 100% guarantee. There's not much in life that promises 100% guarantee. And God said there's 100% guarantee that every seed will grow if we will do our part. It will grow, it will increase if it's planted and if it's watered. So I love, you know, those parables, and in Mark chapter 4, Jesus goes on to tell more parables about how the kingdom works. In verses 26 through 28 of Mark chapter 4, he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed on the ground, and then continues sleeping and rising night and day, while the seed sprouts and grows and increases, he doesn't know how. So that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is not causing it to germinate, causing it to grow, causing it to spring up. None of that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to water. You know, in the summer, my garden, I don't just water once. I don't plant something and just water once. I would never receive any kind of produce if I only watered it one time. What do I have to do? I have to continue to water consistently throughout the growing period until the harvest. And in this case, when we say harvest, we think about, I guess you could say the manifestation. The manifestation would be like the harvest. You have to continue to water. But that's all you have to do. You can grow day in and day out and day in and day out, spending time meditating on that, praying over it, allowing the Holy Spirit. It might be that the Holy Spirit says, you've got some unforgiveness to deal with. Or you have some fear you need to deal with. Or he may just point out something that's hindering us. Now, it's not that God's holding it back. What is that? That's where Jesus explained that things enter in and choke the word. It's not that God's holding back. God's not holding back his promise. He's already given us the seed. In the seed is the potential promise. He's not holding back, but things in us can choke it and keep it from bringing forth to fullness, the fullness that it was intended. So it says he continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed sprouts and grows and increases. He doesn't know how, so we don't have to know how. We don't have to know how it works. We just have to do our part. The earth produces acting by itself. All we need to know is that the word planted in our hearts and watered, God will cause the increase. God will do that. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And then it's as we've looked at two passages of scripture that the little seed will grow into something mighty. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says that it's able to do super abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the word, the power of the word that's working in us, beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Well, I can do all of that pretty big. I bet you can too. Maybe it's about our families. You know, maybe it's about the salvation of loved ones. Maybe it's, again, financial things or healing needs or something that you have. It says that word working in our heart, the message working in our heart, can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Infinitely beyond. What's infinite? Endless. endlessly. So endless healing above all and beyond anything we ask or think. Endless financial provision. Endless peace. No fear. No anxiety in our lives about anything beyond our highest prayers. Now, each one of us knows what our little thing is. Maybe it's multiple things, but for most people, there's one area that they're praying and believing God and having, they have a desire. They have some thoughts and some hopes and some dreams. Maybe it's about the future, our children's futures, you know, or our grandchildren's futures. You know, Eric, every time we get together, we had a birthday celebration last night, and every time we get together, their little star in their family is a four-year-old, very precocious little boy, but he's extremely bright. And he can read everything now, and he's multiplying and adding double-digit numbers in his head, and we're just thinking, what is this little boy's future going to be? He loves, he doesn't ask you what your favorite color is. He wants to know what your favorite number is. Do you suppose maybe we've got a mathematician, budding mathematician in our family? He wants to know, what's your favorite number, Grandma? It's like, well, I guess I never thought about what my favorite number is. But, you know, so you have dreams for them. You know, if Jesus tarries, there's a future and a hope there. We dream, we want God to do exceeding abundantly above for those children. Amen. Well, that's what the word is able to produce when we plant it and sow it, water it, all of those kinds of things. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, very similar. It says that when we receive that seed, it says the word, not as the word of a man, but as the a promise of God that God is eager to do for us. It says, that it is the word of God effectually at work in us, exercising superhuman power. In us. So that little seed, once planted in water, will exercise superhuman power just because we believe it. That's so awesome. So just to kind of segue this into the whole concept of healing, you know, as I was thinking about this thing that I would call a genetic or congenital thing that we deal with in my family, I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's nothing life-threatening. It's just a pain. It's a pain in the neck is what it is. Not literally. but this is what came to me as I was laying in bed and I was thinking about it. I was thinking, you know, I'm tired of that. I'm just tired of it. It's not going to kill me. You know, we already know it's not a malignant condition or anything like that. It's just an inconvenience. And so this, I just kept hearing, the words that came to me was, who healeth all thy diseases. And I thought, okay, wait a minute now. If he's healed all my diseases, then why am I tolerating any of them? And somebody may say, well, that's not a disease. Look, it's not perfect. It's not the way God created our bodies to be. So that scripture came to me. You know, when that happens, I need to incline my ear to that. I knew what that was. I knew that was Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. It says in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So I know the word. I attend to that word. But I had to, now the Holy Ghost is saying something I need to incline my ear to. Oh, okay. He wants to take me beyond walking in good health. He wants me beyond that now. He wants me to start looking at these other things. Don't put up with it. It's more than an inconvenience. It's unjust for that to exist in our bodies since someone died for it and paid a price for it. It's unjust. Amen? And he is faithful and just to keep his word to us. He's faithful and just. That means God wants that. He's eager to do that for us. So it says, he forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. So I'm just thinking, okay, that made me think of my little acorn again. That little acorn isn't just going to grow up and produce a couple a mutated looking tree. It's with a couple little branches on it. It's going to grow into a mighty oak with huge branches. That, you know, on our walk, we walked past this one house, and in the summer we couldn't see this, but now that the leaves are all down, this massive tree behind one of the houses along Mississippi Boulevard. Right in an urban area, there's an eagle's nest. Now, it would take a massive tree to support. You know how huge their nests are. They're massive. And sure enough, we were so excited because, you know, we see more and more eagles now. They're back. and here's this huge eagle's nest right in the back of a big house on Mississippi Boulevard. It's like, wow. So that tree had to grow up and become strong enough to support the weight of something like that. Well, I believe God's word wants to do that in our lives. It has to be able to grow up. and become a massive enough in our lives to support any number of things God may want to do in our lives. Maybe it's a ministry call. You know, maybe it's being an anointed business leader. That's going to take the power and anointing of God to support that. Amen? And so, but healing isn't just for those really bad things. You know, we think of Ebola, or we think of any other type of pandemic that might strike the earth and wipe out hundreds of thousands of people. Or we think of cancer. We think of just diseases that just take people's lives, steal people from us. No, it says all thy diseases. So we shouldn't be tolerating any of it. Not any of it. We shouldn't tolerate any of it. You know, and I realized, you know, I just kind of made peace with that. In my life, I just sort of made peace with it because it wasn't a big deal. You know, that would be like having some little rodent in your house. Oh, he's not messing things up too bad. But his presence in my house is wrong. I don't want that rodent in my house, stinky old rodent, you know, or whatever it might be. I don't want that in my house. We shouldn't be tolerating any sickness, any condition that is less than divine health or divine life. So all thy diseases, all thy diseases. Then I thought at the same time I was thinking about all thy diseases, then I heard none of these diseases. Didn't he say that in Exodus? He said, I will put none of these diseases on you. So then again, we think, well, you know, this is just a genetic thing. It's something, you know, and it's not that we think God put it on us, but, you know, it's just part of the way we are. It's in my family. You know, it's just the way we are. We all have this. You know, it's not a big deal. I could live a long, productive, full life with this. Well, how full and how productive is that? You know, if something like that is in your body, it, besides, it's such a testimony to receive full healing for everything. So I just, you know, we're just going to kind of go now launch over the next weeks. We'll start launching into more and more about healing, but I just thought that was a good way to kind of segue in hearing what the Lord said to me that, he heals all our diseases, all of them. So we need to, the things in our lives, maybe it's not just your diseases, maybe in your financial life, maybe you're just believing God to get from week to week. That's not prosperity. I mean, that's wonderful to have your needs met, but that's not prosperity. To not know, you know, to be uncertain. That we had to press beyond that. See, that's the full promise of God would be abundance. Now, not that we never have to trust or believe God. You know, I don't think that that's the point here. But that we're always looking to God. We're looking to his word to produce abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So that's, that to me is abundance. That's more than enough. That's overflowing. That's what else could we call it? Just abundance. Abundance of healing, abundance of financial provision, abundance of peace. So that when you're in the middle of a stressful situation or a potentially dangerous situation, the peace of God keeps you and everybody else is freaking out and losing their minds over it. And you've just got the peace of God. No cares at all. That's the fruit of God's word. And that's what he wants for all of us. He wants us. He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. How can you be of good cheer when the world is falling apart around you? Because he's overcome the world. Amen. That's abundance. Amen. All right. Well, would our guests like to pray this morning? One of you? Whichever.